There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome to Red Men. This clip is from an absolute belter of a debate show from Red Men Plus this week. The topic brought in by Sarge was, have Liverpool been sussed out? Let's watch on.
Look, Paul, you know, I was actually, you know, when I got sent this, I thought I'd have a look at it. And what I did was I looked at our net spend over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, Liverpool, we do like to talk about net spend. So I thought I'd have a look at it over the last 10. And when you look at the net spend and you've got all the big, let's say, the PSGs and the Man Cities at the top, we accept, you know, we accept that, fine, fair play. But when I started seeing, you know, the teams like Juventus and Bayern Munich, and to a lesser extent, teams like West Ham popping up there, and then there's like Leicester just below us, and our net spend is, you know, we're going up against the likes of West Ham and Leicester, let's say. Personally, we definitely need to be spending a lot more, especially now. Look, I've accepted the model the way it was. It was fine. We accepted it as fans generally. We accepted the model. And, you know, it worked. It's done as well. It's a model that's worked for us. But I feel as though now it's come to a time where hard decisions need to be made in terms of spend, you know. And, you know, the last couple of years, we haven't really spent much. We signed Kanate last year, one signing. We signed Diaz in Jan, which I believe should have been a signing that should have been made 3 or 4 months prior to that, before that. So we're now, we've signed, you know, we lost Mane, we've lost Origi, we've lost Minamino, we've only bought in one attacker. Yes, Carvalho to an extent is an attacker, but we definitely need to be signing a lot more and fast.
Yeah. What do you think, Jamie?
I'm going to go against that a little bit, because if you look at...
Good, debate.
Yeah, debate.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think we should be envious of the likes of Juventus necessarily. Like, if you look at, you know, they were paying Aaron Ramsey something like $400,000 a week, and they're, you know, trying to get rid of Rabiot, and they've been burnt by the Ronaldo deal. And so I think this is being framed about what's happening right now. People want to sign a midfielder. We've not started the season well. I was originally in the, we don't need to sign anybody camp, but I think on the now when you're looking at the likes of, you don't know what's happening with Naby. Chamberlain's never really in the picture, is he, because of his injury record. Jones has crept up as bit of a treatment table favourite. So I get why. I think now it does feel a bit negligent not to spend that little bit more. But I think if you look back, certainly the Klopp era of FSGs, the Klopp Edwards era has been the most successful. Mm-hmm. They did seem to spend fairly liberally going back 10 years ago. But we wasted a lot of that money. And I know people are unhappy right this second, but I think there's this heavy clamour, isn't there, especially online. And I do think we could do with signing a midfielder. But I just think back to the likes of, you know, I was writing it in one of my columns before the Palace game. There was loads of people saying, well, we need to sign Jack Butland. This is before we signed Alisson. You know, they just waited that little bit longer, and they spent a world record fee on a goalkeeper, and they've got the right guy. I think it would make people feel short term better to just sign three or four players now, but yeah. I'm not necessarily sure that it's the right strategy.
So what I've got up in front of us here, it's not 10 years. I got the last 5 years because it doesn't quite cover Klopp's era, but it also isn't tainted by what goes on before it. Premier League club net spend for the last 5 years, and take these figures with a little grain of salt because no one ever truly knows the cost of a transfer and all the things that go with it. But in the last 5 years, Manchester City topped the table. Purchased gross, so that's basically they've spent £818.5 million on players. They've sold £312.9 million, which gives them a net spend of £505.6 million, which averages out to £101 million per season. That means that effectively their outgoings are greater than their incomings to the tune of £100 million on transfers per season. Second on that is Manchester United. Again, the gross spend is £611 million. Sold 231's worth. Their net spend is 378, which again equates to about 75.8. Liverpool are down in seventh in this one. So having spent 470, recouped 378, but the net spend there at 92.4, which is about 18.5 a season, which is not too dissimilar actually to what we're coming out in this year already, if you just look at what we've bought and what we've sold. It's interesting because I think your point is, it's right, Saj, and I agree when you're talking about the net spend of Juventus and when you're talking about the net spend of other clubs that aren't backed by ridiculous outfits and the ones who are challenging for their leagues and the teams that expect to be in the last 16 of a Champions League every season. But when you look at who else, Everton are fourth on that list, third, fourth. That for me is not Liverpool should be spending more money because Everton are spending more money. That shows me that just spending money doesn't what you spend is irrelevant. It's how you spend that's important. Yeah.
But look, Paul, you know, I think Liverpool as a whole, the way we've actually bought has been done really, really well. And I think Klopp, you know, has shown over the last few years more so that, you know, wherever we've generally bought, we've got a hit rate of, let's say, at least 90%. Barring, let's say, Naby Keita was the one where it probably went, as Liverpool fans would say, where it sort of went wrong. But generally speaking, our hit rate is really, really high. So when I was looking at over the last 5 years, I was looking at the year where we didn't sign a centre-back, and the year when Lovren went, and we were doing really well. You know, we were flying at the start of the season. We had them injuries. And I always felt just before, at the start of that season, that we missed out on a centre back that season, waiting for the right one, where we could have, you know, I think we were four ahead of Man City, come towards December, and then obviously all our injuries came into play, and then we started seeing a decrease in our form because of the amount of injuries that we accumulated over in the centre back position. So it was that, it was moments like that. I think maybe if we could have done a bit more at that time, thinking, okay, a centre back at that time, rather than wait 6-7 months. Would it have been possible to have gone a bit harder on Konate at that sort of time? And again, I think it boils down to this time again. We're at that stage this season where we knew we were a midfielder short. Could we have done a bit more at the start to bring somebody up? Yeah, we were linked to Tchouaméni and that didn't work out. But yeah, that's in terms of looking at timing.
My overall feeling is I'm fine with Liverpool being a self-sustaining business. Yeah. But self-sustaining business doesn't mean your transfer net spend needs to be zero. You know what I mean? No. It does. That's actually not what that means at all. There's no problem with going a little bit above and beyond because you're earning more money. You know, you're bringing successes in. You're winning leagues. You're getting to finals of Champions League. So you're taking the most money you can take out of a Champions League competition, which already brings you tons of money anyway. Yeah. And this is not necessarily, for me, it's not necessarily a season in, season out thing. Is that there have to be, it can be an occasional exception where your overall net spend can come up over a few years because there's one summer where you might need to go big. And look, that might be next summer, but it's actually never really been any summer for Liverpool where we've gone, our outgoings have been significantly bigger than what we've recouped. You might have to track back an extra transfer window. For example, bringing Alisson in comes off the back of selling Felipe Coutinho, of course, you know, and obviously Van Dijk comes in that winter as well. This summer will look a little skewed because we brought the Diaz transfer forward from this summer back to January. So there's potentially another £50 million worth of transfers, but we also didn't, to your point, we didn't spend hundreds the summer before. There's always extenuating circumstances. We were still recovering and getting the true picture of COVID and the impact of all that kind of thing. But I'm not sure that it's outside the realms of Liverpool's ability. I don't think it capsizes the ship for them to drop 100 million quid, an extra 100 million quid one summer.
No.
Because in the grand scheme of things, it does. The money exists somewhere within the football club, I would suspect. It becomes unsustainable if you want to do that every season. That's where you start to come into conflict with FFP. But I don't think it's a massive ask to say if it's there and it needs doing. And it does look like it's there and it needs doing. Because they clearly wanted Tchouaméni and that was going to cost that massive chunk of money. Did they then go, ah, shit, well, we have to go big on Núñez? Did that take a little bite out of that maybe? I don't really understand it. Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life.
I think they've gambled. I don't know if it's Klopp has a kind of gambler's mentality. Even going back to the season when we had just Albi Moreno as a left back, then he gets dropped after a couple of games. Milner comes in and ends up doing a really good job. You think we didn't have two left backs there to compete, and they got away with that, although we didn't challenge for the title. It did look a bit negligent when City had just had a year where they'd lost, was it Laporte, for the whole year. They were short at centre-back. Then we let Lovren go. And then, oh, guess what? We ended up out. I mean, it was an unprecedented injury crisis. So there are little times when you think, I think they might be pushing it in terms of gambling a bit too much. But I still think they're doing it right in terms of the targeted signings, because I'm not jealous, for instance, of Chelsea. Like, you look, they've just signed a left back for 60 million quid, and they signed how much was Chilwell? Yeah, similar, yeah. 50 plus million. Looking at Gordon for 60, he's a rare bright spark for the Blues last season. Is he a £60 million player? Like, he might end up like Ross Barkley.
I think that point's right. The recruitment has still got to be spot on. You can't just spend money for money's sake. But again, you would trust Liverpool. They've got that record of delivering success and doing the right thing in that regard.
Yeah.
So it would be. It feels like there should be a little bit more in that, because we've never been here before, and that's my slight concern on this. Is I think it's different when you're climbing. Right now, you need to. The window you're aiming for is smaller now. The target you're shooting at, you know, it's further away and it's smaller, and the wind's blowing because you're right at the edge of at the top of football.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you've got to get more things right, but also because of that, you need to buy better players, and better players cost more money. Yeah. And I think if we're starting to rely on, if we're looking for little signings here and there, I think you're going to get some. Like, Fabio Carvalho could prove to be an absolute gem, an absolute steal. Elliot could be exactly the same. And if you get both of them to be regular Liverpool first team players, well, you've saved yourself £100 million just by not having to spend £60 million a pop on each of them. Which is, when you look at Jude Bellingham, is the same age as both of those lads, more or less, maybe a year in it. And he's being touted as £100 million. Footballer,
I agree,
you can't buy three of them, but if we want to stay at the top, we might need to say, well, there's a summer where we do end up in a little bit of a transfer deficit, where we say, well, hang on, this is just a summer where we're not going to make this back. And I suppose the injuries to Ox and Keita, and just Keita in general, makes it a little bit more complex, whether we'd have actively looked to push them out, and that gives them a little bit more freedom to move. But even then, you know, I don't know whether there's just a ruthlessness that Liverpool just need to say, right, there's some more, go for it. The one factor I just wanted to talk about, because I mentioned this when we talked about it on the podcast, and it very rarely gets brought into discussion, so I don't want to be guilty of falling under my own thing here, my own blame that I'm handing out, is the salary cost.
Yeah.
Because as much as we can say Liverpool don't spend above and beyond, what we do know is that salary costs have increased massively in the time that Jürgen Klopp's been here. So what I managed to find, and again, treat it with a little bit of pinch of salt, because I've seen it, Liverpool's referred as to over 300 million in a lot of places, and then I see it talked about as being 100 odd million. I don't fully understand, but for illustrative purposes, I've gone off sportsrack.com here and gone for the 22-23 season. In terms of estimated total salary, leading the way is reportedly Manchester United with 218.3 million a year on salaries. Chelsea are in second on 182.3. Liverpool are in third on 153.7. And Man City are in fourth on 144. Now, obviously, they've let a couple of players go on huge wages, but they've obviously brought them in. That's a little suspect to me. Yeah. I'm not, because there are other accounting websites on this which will have City top, followed by United, followed by Liverpool, but just for the illustration of it, Liverpool at 153 million, now this only goes back to the 2017 season, which I'll bring up now, 2017-2018. What it has Liverpool down there is in fifth with a total salary per year of 86 million. Mm. So what you can see from 2017 to 2022, we've effectively doubled our outgoings on a yearly basis on the salary. I just thought it was an interesting point to bring up, Saj, because effectively you're looking at there, even a simple math, that's around 70 million a year, which when you think about it, is kind of the figure we're talking about in terms of difference in transfer spend.
Look, in terms of the increases in salary, due to the success that we've had actually on the field with so many of our players, a lot of our players have received that contract extension, bar Mane, let's say.
And all the bonuses that come with winning, which won't be factored into this.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, that, of course, the figure shows that 70, 80 million drop off that we can see, it will have factored into the costs of the club. But again, from my side, Paul, is I'm all good for the way we've been run and everything, and we've all trusted the way that the club is run financially, and I'm happy with it because it's brought us success. Who am I to question the way we've actually been run over the last few years when we were down in sixth and now we've been challenging on all fronts? But there comes a time where I think, and it's now from what I can see, there comes a time once where you think, like you mentioned, Paul, that you think now is probably the time that the team sort of needs a bit of a refresh, a bit of a push to say, and I think the last couple of games probably have shown that as well, that, you know, we probably do need a bit of a refresh in terms of players. I know we've got a lot of injuries. We've also got a few leaving at the start of next season. They're not, at least, let's say, three that I can think of on top of my head. So maybe a refresh in terms of at least one midfielder, just to, you know, to steady the boat, especially when we know with the same sort of players that get injured. I know we've been through down this road so many times with just general talk about Liverpool, but there's a time where we need a push. And I genuinely believe this was the sort of season where we needed a push.
And I can appreciate it from that, because that's where I'm kind of at with this, is at the moment we're all right, because I'm not sure there's any other team who are truly equipped to step up just yet.
Mm.
We're probably another season or two away from them really making that kind of leap, but City don't look like they're going anywhere. And do we have to, is this being factored in, or a little step back to step forward or whatever? I'm not sure any of us would be happy to hear that, because it's a year of our lives, as much as anything else. But that's my kind of broad feeling on this. I agree, I am happy with how the club's been run. I don't think you can detach, as much as we can say we should have done the X, Y and Z. What Liverpool have managed to achieve, given all of the things we've discussed there, I think is nothing short of phenomenal. And the point is, there's tons of other football clubs who've tried it in different ways and come nowhere near close to challenging City the way we have.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee that any other approach than the one we adopted could be successful. But haven't got here. And we've had plenty of summers where, okay, we questioned it at the time, question winning the Champions League and not adding. Yeah. We added Harvey Elliott and Adrian that summer.
Yeah.
Okay, we went on and won the league. But it does look a little bit like, it feels churlish to say, well, we should have done X, Y, and Z. But I don't know. At the minute, I look at the balance, particularly Liverpool's midfield and the age brackets there, and it's crying out for someone to. It's crying out for a guy in the prime of his career to come in and be what Liverpool need to be. And it feels like, you know, this might have been a missed opportunity to not go a little harder in the transfer spend this season.
Yeah, I think first things first, it's very hard. I mean, I you can't think of many managers or Ferguson accepted who consistently, once they've reached the top of the mountain, it's every year, you know, they were pretty much there were some years they didn't win the league, sure, but every year they were in the conversation. Yeah. Even Wenger, for the last probably 10, 12 years of his career, was they weren't really in with a shout for the league, and they were, you know, they were getting knocked out the Champions League, they were getting battered by the likes of Barca and Bayern and things like that. So that dropped off from the peak of, you know, Invincibles, Henry and Vieira sort of era. So it's very, very hard to sustain being at the top for that long. But it does feel now like it might be. I'm not, you know, Ferguson used to like get rid of Pallister and Bruce. I'm not saying we should sell Van Dijk and, you know, just to like make a few waves or whatever, but it does feel like maybe now is the time for a little bit more of a cash injection and a bit of a refresh, especially in that midfield area.
Yeah. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.